Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready to get blitzed on the Blitz podcast at thehuddle.com with your hosts Steve Gallo and Harley Schultz.
Welcome back to another episode of the Blitz Podcast. I'm Steve Gallo, joined by co-host Harley Schultz. Harley, I think you had a good week last week, didn't you?
Well, you know, I have a good week every week, but some weeks are better than others, and this week was an upper echelon week.
So, upper echelon, huh?
Yeah.
How do you get to the upper echelon?
It always helps to take down a GPP.
Well, there you go. And what exact GPP did you take down?
Well, I can't say that I took down the Millionaire Maker or anything like that, although that would be really damn cool if I did. But this was a much smaller field one, sponsored by the nice folks at fanball.com. And it was their highest paying GPP of the weekend, technically of the season too, called the Peacock.
The Peacock. I don't have a lot of love for the Peacock because the Peacock had a Phillies game on a couple weeks ago, and it was the only place you could see it, and I don't stream from Peacock, so I'm not happy with Peacock. But you're happy with Peacock.
Well, the term originated actually one of the three primary people behind fanball.com, Paul Charchian, Brian Johnson, and Matt Harrison. Matt Harrison came up with a sounder effect when they were doing their fantasy football radio show, basically to peacock a announcement or a prediction they made the previous week. So then they used the peacock sound effect on their radio show for that. So that's kind of where the concept of the peacock tournament came from.
Gotcha. Okay. Fair enough. Well, I'm happy that you were able to take down such a good tournament to take down. I'm sure there's a little bit of special place for you because it was Charch's, you know, place also. Take some money from him, right?
Well, again, I mean, yeah, as a former writer for Charch a long time ago, it does have a personal house to me, plus the fact that I do play in leagues against a lot of the people involved with Fanball, including Charch and Harrison and Johnson, along with Scott Fish. And other people associated with the Fanball site. I do play in some home leagues with those guys, and so it's nice to take down some money and again, their biggest GPP of the season. And again, it wasn't just that one. Because of the fact that I put together a very good lineup, I was able to cash significantly on other sites too. But again, this was the first official GPP takedown of the year for me, which makes always a good weekend.
So you won some coin and bragging rights forever in that crowd then, at least.
Well, it's actually it's the fourth time in the last 3 years, I believe, fourth time in the last three or four years that I've won this particular tournament. So I do have some history of being successful in it. This year's field is a little smaller than previous year's fields, but again, it still is a fun tournament to play in. Again, it's not going to break anyone's bank. And it's going to be a good tournament to really kind of, if you can beat this small field, you still get yourself a nice payday from it, which is nice. And I think that's one of the key things to think about is, you may not win over 100,000 people or 250,000 people. But winning over a smaller field, you can still make a sizable chunk of money.
There you go. And speaking of money and dollars and donuts and all that kind of stuff, We're going to have two segments tonight. One of the segments is going to be dedicated to DFS budget management, where Harley's going to share some insight with us. And then, of course, we'll do our DFS pay-ups, stay-aways, and value plays. But before any of that happens, we have to throw it over to Harley for this week's Blitz Podcast News.
Thank you, Steve. Saquon Barkley is likely to miss this Thursday's game and several other games in the near future after sustaining an ankle injury late in Sunday's comeback victory versus Arizona. This will provide Matt Breida the opportunity at a revenge game narrative against San Francisco on Thursday night. Of course, San Francisco may have forgotten that Breida was ever on their roster because he was injured so often while he was there. After naming Cam Akers as a healthy scratch this past Sunday, Rams head coach Sean McVay said he had tremendous respect for Akers, but that going forward, this was the best decision for the team. If this is how McVay treats players he has respect for, I'd hate to see how he deals with players he despises. It's been 2 weeks and two early departures due to injuries for Anthony Richardson. Due to his most recent concussion, there is a strong chance that Richardson will miss week three. Now, it's truly a shame that he didn't get a chance to finish out what was a strong start last week. I guess the bright side of all of this is that if he does indeed miss week three, then he technically does not have to worry about starting his career by leaving three straight games due to injury. Joe Burrow apparently re-injured his calf during Cincy's 27-24 loss Sunday to Baltimore. I can only assume at this point that Burrow's calf is being strained by the weight of his new wallet. And finally, it took six quarters of football, but the New York football Giants finally scored a point. They had to do something as New Yorkers had started calling Danny Dimes Danny Pennies instead. This has been your BPN News update.
You know, you said it took six quarters, but you should have said and facing the Arizona Cardinals in full tank mode.
Yes, and it's kind of amazing that they managed to not win that game.
Yeah, almost beyond belief, honestly.
That is like, I mean, Miami should have learned something from this if they had known this a couple of years ago. You can tank without like clearly tanking.
Yeah, right. And Miami didn't even complete their tank properly, so whatever.
Houston didn't tank properly.
Yeah. So many teams don't. Chicago tanked properly.
Yeah. They got themselves a quarterback.
Yep. Well.
Who's pretty much being maligned by everyone right now. So
yeah, I was going to say someone is playing the quarterback position not favorably in the eyes of many.
Unfortunately, I felt really confident and happy about me getting Justin Fields in the second round of the Scott Fish Bowl earlier this year, but now I'm starting to sweat that pick a little bit.
Nah, his legs, he'll be okay. He'll be okay from a fantasy standpoint going forward. I definitely think we'll see
his legs would be okay if his coach would actually design a running play for him.
Yeah, well, that'll have to happen. Don't worry. That's going to have to happen. But in any event, why don't we go ahead and get into the DFS budget management part? Or do you want to, you know what, before we do that, let's talk about what other injuries do we need to keep an eye on this week? Let's hit on that a little bit real quick.
Okay, well, I think that there's
Jalen Waddle.
There's injuries. I'm sorry?
Jalen Waddle's in concussion protocol, right?
Yes, Waddle is in the concussion protocol. I think that he's got a chance to play. It sounds like he's already kind of like shaking. Well, again, how much does this coach speak? I don't know, but they're already saying that he's like shaking like the first part of the protocol.
Right.
Which, if that's happened in the first day, then that's probably a good sign for him going forward to next week. But again, we don't know for certain. Obviously, Miami has a shaky history of concussions, so
yep.
You got to wonder, like, if the training staff in Miami is saying someone's feeling better on their concussion, do we really trust that that's the truth?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'm on Ross St. Brown dealing with a turf toe, possibly.
And it was kind of a weird thing. He left the game. And then I read earlier today that it's mainly cramping.
Right.
That's why he left. But, I mean, I guess you can get cramps in your foot.
Yeah, you've never had a cramp in your foot?
I mean, I've had like Charlie horses.
Yeah, like a Charlie horse. Or something. Yeah, but I mean, I've had them like mid-foot. Like it feels like somebody's just chopped your foot off. Devontae Adams is in concussion protocol also. A lot of receivers.
He also is supposedly a step up on his recovery from that already. But I mean, just look at that team. Yeah. If Adams were to miss the game, they also have Jacoby Myers in the concussion protocol.
Yep.
They could be forced to actually throw the ball to Hunter Renfrow, which they refused to do last week.
Yeah. You got another receiver, Brandon Ayuk's got a shoulder injury, probably out a week.
That's too bad. He actually got off to a decent start to the season. He had a big game week one. He was doing well in week two before leaving the game due to the injury. And so it's going to be it's a short week, obviously, for them. So I don't foresee him playing this week.
Right.
But I think when you're looking at that, you can actually kind of use that as a way to get a bit of an advantage when you're putting together your Thursday night showdown lineups for DFS. Look at guys who might get increased opportunity in that situation. Someone like Juwan Jennings.
Yep. Yes, exactly. I'll tell you, there's an injury. You never want to wish injury on anybody, but there's an injury that's going to keep a running back out for likely a couple of weeks. And I'm kind of excited to see what that makes the team do with an early round running back that they selected. David Montgomery looks like he's got a thigh injury and is going to be out for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that really shocked me a little bit. When I heard thigh injury, I've dealt with thigh injuries in the past, and they usually hurt like a Dickens, but only for a couple hours. So
yeah.
When I hear that a professional athlete has got a thigh injury and he's going to miss multiple weeks, That's disconcerting to me, particularly one that, although he had started the season well, he's never been a stud running back by any stretch of the imagination. He's always been a low-end running back one, high-end running back two. And we all kind of knew that going to Detroit this year, he was going to be in some sort of a timeshare with Jahmyr Gibbs. So
yeah,
but then also we saw something in the game. When he did go down, it wasn't just Gibbs getting the ball, but they turned to veteran backup guy Craig Reynolds to kind of absorb some of the role that would normally fall onto the shoulder of Montgomery.
Now, I could be wrong. I mean, cut you off. I think that's possibly because of an in-game thing like that. You're going with the backup and not messing with your game plan, basically. I think we see a different game plan where they do go to the rookie in his absence.
Well, speaking of in-game things, of course, we do record this on Monday night. And as we're recording right now, we are watching the New Orleans Saints battle the Carolina Panthers. And Jamal Williams just went to the locker room with the assistance of some people with his helmet off, which is never a good sign.
And it looks like Pittsburgh just got a pick six, too, on a pass that went off the hands of a receiver.
That's never good either.
I can't tell if it was TJ Watt or not, but I'm not going to be shocked if it was because the game's on behind me. Nope, it was Highsmith. 30-yard interception return off the...
How do you feel about this two Monday night football games thing?
I hate it. I hate it. I've always hated it. You can go back and check some shows we did last year and the year before where I say, I hate it. I don't like two Monday night football games. Just absolutely despise it. And it was Hunter Bryant's hands that it went off of. And I'll say this. Learn your lesson, Deshaun.
Harrison Bryant?
I'm sorry, Harrison Bryant. Harrison Bryant. Learn your lesson, Deshaun. Throw to Njoku instead. That won't happen. That's all I'll say about it. It was the – let me see. It was the first play from scrimmage of the game. That's not a good start.
They're showing the replay right now on TV, and it's a straight up pick six, and it's not a good way to start. Unfortunately, I did not put the Steelers in any of my DFS lineups for tonight because I figured that I'd go with the Saints versus the rookie Young, but again, things happen.
I
think the one injury, though, that I think is going to be the most interesting to watch for the next coming week is if Burrow is significantly re-injured that calf, and they're being very hush-hush about it so far today.
Yep.
Because their quarterback depth room is not good. I believe Jake Browning is their backup right now, and you know, he was last seen, I believe, in the USFL.
And they're 0-2, so there's a lot of pressure to get him in the lineup. You know that.
And we've already seen, because of the fact that Burrow had been basically playing a little bit through the injury, still the first week and a half, 2 weeks, that it not only did it affect the win-loss record for the team, but it really kind of put a damper on the productions of Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins.
Yeah. Yes. Well, it'll be something to monitor, that's for sure. That's also why I don't like to go quarterback early. You know, Burrow cost a lot earlier pick than what I'm willing to take spend on a guy usually.
We just got news just recently, too, that obviously Cam Akers looking to be traded now. We know that Jonathan Taylor wants to be traded. And Austin Eckler may end up missing more than the 1 week now. So he might there might be some people on Twitter thinking to themselves, is he kind of extending this injury with the hope that he might get shopped someplace, knowing that his contract terms have not been met yet by the LA Chargers?
Right. And there's an awful lot of running back movement that could happen. And honestly, none will probably happen. But who knows? With that said, the Browns made sure that they didn't throw two pick sixes in a row. They did the right thing. They handed the ball off to Nick Chubb.
I think we call it a Matt Schaub in this industry.
A Matt Schaub. There you go. Yeah, you're right. well, with that, why don't we go on over and transition into DFS budget management? And I'll turn it over to you so you can give everybody a nice wealth of knowledge. How do you know how much you're going to gamble for the season, for the week, for the day, for the month? What do you do?
Well, much like any form of gambling, you really need to have a sort of a preset concept in your mind of what you can afford to spend. Now, the nice thing is once you start to build up a budget, then you've got a budget to work in. It's that starting point where you have to decide, okay, I'm going to spend $100 this week, or I'm going to spend $200 this week. To start to establish that budget. Now, once you've got that budget, it's always a good idea to make sure that you've got enough of that budget invested in what we call a cash game format, either a 50-50 style format where half the group gets paid out, or a double-up type format where just under half the teams get paid out, or even other forms of multipliers like 3 times, 5 times, 10 times, because those contests are much, much easier to win and to cash on. Now, I say cash on. Even the most minimal cash levels are typically 1.5 to 2 times your investment in those type of environments. So if you have $50 invested in that in one given week and you are confident in those lineups, you can turn that $50 into $100. Then you can use that $50 profit that you've made, obviously, again, after the first week. That $50 then becomes your discretionary budget that you can spend, that you can play around with. That's where you start saying, okay, I can enter 10 $5 tournaments, or I can enter two $20 tournaments and two $5 tournaments. As long as you're consistently doubling up your cash budget each week. So in other words, if you're taking that $50 and you're returning $100 each week playing cash, you'll always have $50 plus exponential amount in that tournament budget that you can use then, like I said, to play in more risky tournaments where you're going to be against a much larger field. You're going to have to basically finish higher in the standings to cash than just at the halfway mark. But again, that's where you can win money faster, obviously, but it's also very hard because, you're competing against a large group of people. So, again, whatever you feel is your comfortable budget, be it $100, be it $1,000, whatever you feel comfortable gambling with each week, always try to make sure that the amount you project to win from your cash budget is enough to cover the amount that you project to spend on tournament play.
And I want to say one thing, and you put it probably much more eloquently than I did, but I'm going to say this. When you're setting your budget, it needs to be a number that you can lose. Back in the day, when I turned 21 and I lived outside of Atlantic City, so I was about a half hour, 40 minutes from Atlantic City, and me and some friends decided we're going to go down and go gambling, right? And I didn't have very much money, but I wanted to go and have fun, right? So I took $100. For me, that was a lot of money. I kept $100 in my right pocket, right? And that's what I played with. I looked at it as if we were going out to dinner and a movie or whatever, right? I'd spend that money. So I planned to play until I either lost my 100 or we were done for the night. And any winnings went into my left pocket. And that's how I managed my budget at that point.
I think that an interesting thing that comes into play is in the last 5 or 6 years, particularly in the daily fantasy realm, is that a lot of the high roller players are people who come from a gambling background, either being sports betting or, like myself, coming from the world of poker, where they get a chance to use their tools that they've learned at the felt, such as game theory, but they also get to work from a starting bankroll that's much, much higher than Joe Sixpack. But now, again, just because you're Joe Sixpack doesn't mean that you don't have a budget you can spend or that you can afford to spend on daily fantasy. Again, it's what you're comfortable with. There's weeks where you might lose all of your money. But is that money going to hurt you?
Yeah.
And if you say yes to that, or if you need that money for something, for some other reason, then
you probably shouldn't
be gambling to begin with. And that's why there's lots of resources available both on the internet and within your own states to get help for potential gambling issues.
Yep. The other thing that I'll say is, you know, it's an 18-week regular season. So are you going to spend $50 a week times 18 weeks? Can you afford to lose that amount of money for the year? Or are you doing $50 to start or $100 to start, and you're going to take that as far as it'll take you type thing, right? And like you said, you use that in your cash games, and then if you want to increase, then you use your winnings from that cash game to expand to get to where you want to be. But that's something people need to look at. Or are you doing this? I'm not playing every week. I'm playing every other week. You know what I mean? And I'm going to take a week off and try to learn, and maybe I'll make some lineups in my head to see what's going on and see how I would have done type thing. It just, you don't have to, you're not strapped to betting every game or every week. There's nothing wrong with saying, I don't like this, I'm not going to bet it. I'm not going to play it.
Well, I think there's actually enough sites, too, that offer micro tournaments, too. Things that start as low as, on FanDuel, you can play contests for as cheap as 5 cents or a quarter,
yep.
Where again, you might be playing against 2,000, 4,000 other people, but a minimal cash there might pay 50 cents. So in terms, you've 10 times your investment in a tournament like that.
Yep.
And what you do, though, is you gain the experience of figuring out what pieces you need to put into your lineup each given week. And I think we might talk about that on a future episode, is what goes into setting that lineup each week, because again, not every lineup you set is going to be a winner.
Yep.
But also, again, unless you've got a huge pre-staked bankroll, it's hard to go out there and put together 150 to 250 lineups. So again, in a tournament like the one I took down this past weekend, there was a maximum of 6 entries. So I went ahead and entered all 6 times. It allowed me to get a chance to take my clear consensus top plays, a lot of which we talked about last week's show, and then I mixed and matched in some of the value plays. And the nice thing about that is, like, let's say you've got 3 or 4 value plays at a position, like wide receiver 3, that you like equally. And this past week I did. I had a couple guys I really, really liked at wide receiver 3. Obviously, I liked Puka Nacua, but I also felt that there would be a very high ownership rate because of the fact he had that big first week. I liked Nico Collins, who I thought would have a much lower ownership rate. And I thought that his matchup was very, very good. And I also liked Zay Flowers, who ultimately ended up in that lineup again. But I actually put together lineups that involved each of those three players. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in the future, too, but how we put together our lineups. But again, if you can get into smaller tournaments, because the smaller tournaments, you're not going to be going up against a field of 250,000 people. You're not going to be going up against machine generated lineups. You're not going to be going up against lineups that are entirely like completely uncorrelated in any given way.
And you know what else? Since there was a good transition, you kind of got a little off. You stole a little thunder from me for the transition. But you also can get help picking who to start by listening into our weekly pay-ups, stay-aways, and value plays for DFS, which we'll get into right now. How's that sound?
Sounds good to me.
And for anybody that's new and doesn't know, Harley and I don't discuss this in advance. We're going to give you one pay-up, one value play, one stay-away at each of the four positions of quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. Not doing kickers or defense, sorry. And Harley's going to set an over-under for how many we're going to match on. And I'm going to get it wrong.
Okay, so when I went to put this together this week, I started and I was like thinking to myself, we're going to have a lot of matches this week. I really thought we were. And then I put my list together and I'm like, yeah, I don't think we're going to have that many matches. So I settled on four, and I think Vegas is going to like that number.
Yeah, I'm glad it's not three. So at four, we're taking the under, though.
Okay.
So start us off. Who are we going to pay up for at the quarterback spot?
Well, I think it makes sense to pay up for the highest paid quarterback on the board. For the second straight week in a row, I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes. This week, he is at home versus Chicago. Chicago just made Baker Mayfield and Jordan Love look like all pros.
Yep.
I absolutely love Mahomes here. I think he's going to slay at home with a fully healthy Travis Kelce and a reconfident Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore, both of whom were peppered with targets in week two just to build their confidence back up. That offense is still not 100% clicking, obviously, but they're much, much closer to the offense that we expected from Kansas City. And again, it's going to be nice playing up against a soft defense like Chicago.
So we have a match right out the box. So there you go. Vegas is definitely not liking my underpick right now. Pat hasn't gone off yet, and they're going to be at home. And like you said, they didn't make Baker Mayfield look like an all-pro. They made Baker Mayfield look like a Hall of Famer last week. if that happens, Pat's just going to – he'll be by far the best quarterback of the week.
Yeah, Chicago is really – they're problematic on both sides of the ball right now. It's kind of hard to trust them. And that's leading into my stay away play, which is Justin Fields on the road in KC.
Oh boy. That's a match again, too. Two for two out the box.
Chicago is not allowing Fields to run the ball, which is, again, that's really stupid because that's where he gains most of his value from a fantasy standpoint and from a real life standpoint and from a help Chicago Bears win a football game standpoint. He's traveling to face a KC defense that's held two very good quarterbacks to a combined 460 passing yards and only one passing touchdown through the first 2 weeks. And then, again, this wasn't against Ham and Eggers like Baker Mayfield and Jordan Love. This was against decent quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence and Jared Goff. And KC got a certain somebody named Chris Jones back last week, and he pretty much helped wreck the game last week.
Yep, that is true. Okay, so we're two for two. I don't think we'll go three for three, but who is your value play? Maybe we will.
This was tough.
I agree.
I really don't like any of the value-priced quarterbacks this week. I mean, it was like hold my nose and go down the list and see who I was going to settle for. I thought about Deshaun Watson at home versus Tennessee, but I just that $7,500 FanDuel price doesn't scream value to me.
Right. Yeah.
I thought about if Anthony Richardson doesn't play, Gardner Minshew might be in play against a Baltimore defense that is not as good as we might think they are. But then again, it's like we don't know that Anthony Richardson isn't going to play yet. So I felt like that was taking a misstep there trying to call that. I ended up settling on the one guy. There's like one matchup that seems out of place. And that's Geno Smith at home versus Carolina. We're seeing right now the Saints are struggling a little bit against Carolina. But Geno Smith has a few more weapons than the Saints does. J.C. Horn is going to miss both this game and next week. And you know, I think it's much easier to pass the ball against Carolina than run the ball right now against them.
Man, we were so close to being 3-for-3. I started with Watson, and I'm with you. Like, the $7,500 just, like, and then I was like, no, crossed him off. And then went to Geno. But then I wound up saying, you know, Geno's 7,200. He's really not that much cheaper there. He's, you know, 400 bucks cheaper on DraftKings. So I wound up going back to Watson. I'm not going to be impacted by the pick six that he threw that went off the hands of Harrison Bryant tonight. I don't really love any of those plays, quite honestly. So find a way to get Pat Mahomes in your lineup.
Yeah, this is actually a good week to spend up at quarterback. I mean, Justin Herbert against Kirk Cousins at the Metrodome.
Yeah.
At U.S. Bank Stadium here in Minnesota, that'd be a pretty high-scoring game. Both teams have questionable secondaries, and both teams have decent wide receiver weapons, decent quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson isn't bad against an Indianapolis pass secondary that gave up nearly 400 yards to C.J. Stroud.
Right.
He's a possibility. And Justin Fields is really the only high-priced guy. Don't like maybe Tua Tagovailoa home versus Denver, although other than Patrick Surtain, Denver has been a little bit soft in their secondary this year.
Yeah. Sam Howell had a decent enough game, second half at least. I'm with you. I didn't like a lot of the options, honestly. So,
yeah, just spend up at quarterback this week and fill out your roster with cheaper plays at the other positions because, yeah, that middle tier, which is the tier I love to attack when I'm building my laps. I love that middle tier of quarterbacks, or the lower middle tier of quarterbacks too, because, again, much like in Superflex, and we both talk about this during our Superflex drafts, is that even the lowest end quarterbacks have Superflex 2 value, whereas maybe the 30th quarterback or the 28th quarterback will have some Superflex 2 value. But when you look at the 28th or 30th running back, that player does not have nearly as much value.
Right. Yep. Okay. Let's go over to running. Actually, that's funny. I've got the Phillies game on my phone in the corner here. And what's that guy's name? Mr. Freeze? The guy that runs around the warning track when they give the other fan a head start to see if they can beat him or whatever. Well, he was running, and now I'm going to say, let's run on over to running back now. So who do you have at pay up for running back?
Well, this is another situation where I kind of looked at all the top names, and I went ahead and crossed Austin Eckler off on the news that it sounds like he's not going to play this coming week.
Yep.
Scrolled down a little bit. I liked Tony Pollard on the road at Arizona, but Arizona's defense has actually been much more acceptable than what we thought we were going to get from them. So, I don't really want him. I ended up going down to the sixth highest priced guy in DraftKings, and that's Travis Etienne Jr., who is right now it sounds like he's going to play. He did have some cramping issues at the end of the game too. But the nice thing about him is so far Houston's faced two offenses predominantly made up of backup running backs. J.K. Dobbins left the game early for Baltimore, so they had to face Justice Hill and Gus Edwards, and then this past week facing Zach Moss for Indianapolis. And so far this year, they've given up four running back scores despite facing those backups.
Right.
ATN handled 88% of the touches for Jacksonville last week, despite going through some cramping at the end of the game. Week one, he handled 74% of the touches, so he actually handled more touches this week, as Tank Bigsby was not even, I don't think he got one touch at all in that game last week. So It's one of those situations where the usage is up, and as long as the cramps don't bother him, it's a great matchup to exploit again at the high end price range.
So we don't match. I kind of tried to delineate where the top guys were, and you get in that gray area dollar wise, right? I avoided Eckler for the same reason that you did. I can't talk myself into Pollard at that price at Arizona, where who knows, they could be sitting starters by the mid third quarter or something like that. And I wound up landing on Nick Chubb. I don't love it, but I also, especially depending on what happens tonight, Chubb's just, he's involved both running and passing now. I think at 79 and 86, he's underpriced definitely at DraftKings. Maybe the 86 at FanDuel is kind of right. But he's the guy I'd be willing to pay up for this week, looking at the whole lot in the top five or six.
Well, then I'm sure we're not going to have a match at Stay Away because I'm staying away from Nick Chubb.
Well, there you go. As we help our listeners.
Only one team has allowed fewer total yards to opposing running backs so far this season than Tennessee. That includes both passing and rushing. And last season, Tennessee only allowed like seven total touchdowns to the position. So the one thing that Tennessee is good at on defense is stopping the run. Pretty much every other element of their team, both offensively and defensively, is putrid. But they are good at stopping the run. So, again, we don't know exactly what Chubb's line is going to be for week two. Week one, he did fairly well against a reasonably decent but underperforming Cincinnati defense. So, yeah, I think Chubb is probably going to have a safe floor game. I don't want a floor game for my high-priced guy.
Understandable. Understandable. Yeah, Jeffrey Simmons is a stud on that defensive line. I still think that at home, in what should hopefully be better weather than week one was, that what he played in against Cincinnati, I'm just expecting big things from him. But I get it. My stay away, I kind of have two guys, and I was like going back and forth between the two. I feel like I should stay away from the more expensive guy. It was Derrick Henry, but I wound up landing on Ramondre Stevenson. Miami held him pretty well in check last night for the most part. The Jets, that defense, I do think they're going to be slightly different at home also. I don't love the matchup. I don't like Henry this week against Cleveland on the road either, but my stay away is going to be Ramondre Stevenson.
I agree with you there. I don't like Stevenson this weekend. Interestingly enough, my value play left today's game walking off the field without his helmet, so I'm going to have to change that one. I listed originally Jamal Williams at Green Bay, so if he plays next week, obviously he'd make a decent value play. Green Bay has allowed the most total running back yards through 2 weeks, an average of 182 per game. And right now, basically, with Kendre Miller not yet suiting up for the Saints and with Alvin Kamara still on his suspension, it's Jamal Williams and journeyman backup Tony Jones, I think is the guy's name, behind him. So they don't have a lot of depth at that running back room. So,
right. Again,
if Williams returns this week and or plays next week, I think he makes a decent value. But pivoting from that, because of the injury news and also because of the most recent injury news that Austin Eckler probably won't play, I think this is the week to roll out Joshua Kelly, who many owners are going to be off on after his dud performance against the vaunted Tennessee run defense. He's facing Minnesota this week in what should be a high-scoring game. And again, he can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's not useless in that. And Minnesota is, needless to say, got a mediocre to subpar defense to contend with.
So we have a match, believe it or not, at value play, but I almost went with a two-parter. And by that, what I mean was I almost said I like the Baltimore running game and I like Gus Edwards at his price on DraftKings, but I like Justice Hill on his price over at FanDuel. But instead, I agree with you with news about Austin Eckler. I think Kelly makes a nice sneaky play, and he doesn't have high ownership based on the fact that I think people are like, you know, they're gun shy.
That's what you got to kind of take advantage of when you're building your lineups too, is look for those players that are going to have lower ownership, particularly for tournaments, because when they do come together and hit, that's how you can differentiate and create variance from the rest of the pack.
Yep. And I got that backwards. I liked Justice on DraftKings and Gus on FanDuel. That was where the difference was.
Gotcha.
Yeah, 4,800 for Justice and then 6,100 for Gus. 6,200 for Gus on FanDuel.
Again, that game, I think we both like Lamar Jackson in that game too, so it makes sense that we'd like their offense in general.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, so that's three matches. I definitely think we're blowing the four away and Vegas is going to win. I had trouble at wide receiver. I really had trouble at wide receiver, and I think it's because I let the injury bug kind of like you know, infiltrate my mind and impact my decision making a little bit. Who are you paying up for at wide receiver?
Well, I think this one should be an easy match for us, and that's the highest priced guy on the board, Justin Jefferson.
It is.
Through 2 weeks, the Chargers have allowed nearly 90 more wide receiver receiving yards than the next closest team. And Jefferson, for his part, has topped 150 receiving yards in both of his first two games. I mean, Jefferson has a legitimate chance at a 2,000-yard receiving season if he keeps up this pace. And this week, there's going to be no one to cover him.
So let me run you down my thought process here. One, I love JJ. He's 9,300. He's 9,700. That's a boatload. The Vikings are 0-2. They're at home. They need a win. Who's the keystone guy that you have to rely on? It's JJ, right? And then I was like, but look at Amon-Ra St. Brown's price, 7,900, 7,900. He is being disrespected, right? But I was like,
yep.
But he's not JJ. But there's that turf toe possibility of an injury type thing. And then I was like, well, what about Tyreek Hill? Waddle's out. They're in my – no, that could play against him if Waddle's out, because then they can try to bracket and put extra people on him. Oh, don't overthink it, Steve. It's Justin Jefferson. Stop it. So it's Justin Jefferson at the top.
Yeah, so that was the one that I thought for sure was going to be a match. And you kind of talked a little bit about why I'm staying away from Tyreek Hill this week.
Yep.
Hill will 100% get Patrick Surtain the second in coverage, even if Jalen Waddle plays. But if Jalen Waddle doesn't play because of his concussion, they'll be able to bracket him even more. Now, Hill scored last week against New England, but his overall numbers didn't look that great. That's because they're facing an elite defense. But as I mentioned earlier, Denver's defense has not been anywhere near as elite as we thought they would be so far. But it's still pretty darn good, and Surtain is a true legit shutdown cornerback. So, again, you're paying Justin Jefferson price for Tyreek Hill this week based on Tyreek Hill's performance in week one. And Tyreek Hill will probably still catch 6 catches, probably 60, 70 yards, and he's going to score a touchdown, which is going to be 18 points, and it's going to look pretty solid on your board on DraftKings. But
18
points when you're paying 9,000, that's just barely 2x value. That's not going to get done if you want to try to win some money.
Yep. So, yeah, my stay away, once I found out about the turf toe injury possibility for Amon-Ra St. Brown, I wanted to put him there, but I couldn't. I looked at Tyreek. I looked at the Waddle injury, and I went, well, if I'm going to pay up for Justin, I want to make sure that I'm not putting that next guy into my lineup, especially when there's concern. So it's an automatic stay away from Tyreek in that stance. So that's why we have a match there too.
Who is your value play?
So what do we got? Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4. We're at 5 already. My God. Vegas never loses. My value play is a guy that I think everybody was down on after week one. He has stone hands, it seemed like. Week two, he had a better bounce back week. I don't think his price is reflective of having the best quarterback in the world throwing to him. And no, I'm not talking about Sky Moore. I think Kadarius Toney's the safer and better play with more upside this week.
I did look at Sky Moore, and I actually looked at Kadarius Toney. And before the news came out tonight that Amari Cooper was playing, I also looked at Elijah Moore, who was the guy that I was going to pick as my value play for next week, based mainly on the fact that Amari Cooper may not play. Now, 5 different wide receivers have actually managed to reach double-digit PPR points against Tennessee's defense already, including this past week when Keenan Allen had 2 touchdowns. So Elijah Moore, if Cooper doesn't play, would have been the obvious choice for me. So
yeah.
Again, taking that out of the factor, because obviously Cooper did suit up tonight, I'm going to go with one of my other players that I had in mind, and that is the guy who helped me win a few bucks this past week, and that's Nico Collins at Jacksonville, 5,300 and 6,900.
I can't say that I hate that play. I looked at Kadarius Toney, and $4,600 just seems not right. Like, I think he should at least be mid 5,500-ish.
They're giving him the Chris Davis, if you're familiar with baseball DFS, even the Chris Davis discount.
Yeah. I mean, and at FanDuel, he's 5,500, which is – that's not even in sync because FanDuel's prices are usually generally a little bit higher. So I just felt like he was undervalued, and I think he continues to get peppered. I think he gets in the end zone this week, and he does that, you're going to get three times value.
Now, if you want another interesting injury value point to look at it, value, keep an eye on the status of Odell Beckham Jr. this week. If he misses this coming week's game, we saw Nelson Aguilar step into the Odell role.
Yeah.
And we've already been talking about how much we like the offense for the Baltimore Ravens in that game, particularly the passing offense. Nelson Aguilar could be in for a huge game playing the Odell Beckham role if Odell Beckham doesn't play.
Yeah, and I think Odell's not going to play. Schwarber, for what it's worth, just hit another Schwarbaum in Atlanta up into like the second or third deck.
Yes.
thought you might like to hear that. And I think Nikki C just hit one earlier in the inning too. Phillies are up now 7-1 on Atlanta. I'm not sure what happened, but the Marlins broke the Braves pitching staff, it seems.
Okay, so we're going to slide over to tight end now.
Yes, and we're going to sweep tight end probably. I don't know why, but I think we are. We're going to wind up freaking with 8 matches. The number was 4.
Again, when I started this, I thought we were going to have a lot of matches.
Yeah, okay. Who are you paying up for? I think it's pretty easy who you're paying up for.
He's back.
That's it.
I'm paying up for Travis Kelce versus Chicago. That's all. You don't have to say anything more than that.
Nope. Now, I will say, you know me, if I'm going to pay up and I can save some money, I like to do that. And you just said we like that Baltimore offense. So if somebody wants to save some money, they could theoretically use Mark Andrews as their pay up.
Yes, but I totally agree.
Mark Andrews is not Travis Kelce, back in KC, full bore, ready to go to open up the season. Kelsey's going to top 100 yards and probably have 2 touchdowns.
Exactly.
So, okay. Who's your stay away?
I'm going to give you 2 names.
Okay.
So you got 2 chances to match me here.
Okay.
The first one sounds absurd. I'm going to stay away from TJ Hockenson versus the Chargers.
You can stop because we have a match.
People are going to be chasing the 2 touchdowns from last week.
Yep.
Now, will he score again? Possibly. But I really feel that this is a week that Minnesota is going to exploit the Chargers with Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison.
Yep.
Plus, looking back at the last couple of years for Hockenson has only had 4 games in each of 21 and 22 where he scored a touchdown, let alone 2 touchdowns. So, again, will he have more touchdowns this season? Probably yes. But do you really think he's going to hit on a touchdown this week after starting the season so red hot? I feel like this is one of those situations where everyone's going to be on Hockenson and I'm not going to be. I'd rather pay just a few $100 more and have Kelce.
There you go. And that's my logic. I'm not going to lie to you. It's okay. I'm looking at these top 3 guys. Don't hate any of them really, right? But there's no way I'm not paying up for Travis Kelce. So that means I'm going to stay away from the next highest priced guy. So I'm not even like possibly going to consider putting him in my lineups. So yes, I'm going to stay away.
If you're going to fade Kelce to avoid to create different correlation, yeah, go with Andrews. I think Andrews is a little cheaper than both of them. And
yeah,
I think he's got good upside too, or at least equal upside to Hockenson for a little bit less money.
Yep.
Now the other player I'm going to say to stay away from is the 9th ranked player in terms of salary on DraftKings and the 7th ranked player because of salary on FanDuel. That's Kyle Pitts. When Jonnu Smith is outperforming you, you hit my DFS bench until you figure it out.
Okay, so I'm glad you said that. I'll give my value play now.
Okay.
I go down the list and I'm looking, like, Kyle Pitts, $3,900. Woohoo! Christmas in September. And I went, it's Kyle Pitts. Take Kyle Pitts' name away and put it to somebody else, and you're like, ew.
You're looking at Ian Thomas at that point.
Yeah, basically. I mean, it's a shame, but no. Kyle Pitts is, you know, that people talk about having 10-foot poles or 12-foot poles of people they're not going to draft during redraft seasons. Right now, Kyle Pitts is that in DFS.
Yep.
That's a shame. Kyle Pitts is that in DFS, and I've been a Kyle Pitts truther. I keep waiting.
I'm a Kyle Pitts apologist too. I've had him since rookie drafts in leagues before,
I went back to the well this year again. Fault.
Kyle Pitts is a freak of an athlete.
Yep.
On a team where his coach refuses to utilize him.
His coach missed him in the draft. He said, "I'll screw you. That's, you're not getting any points." That's what happened.
It's borderline absurd. And they have a quarterback that is really, really bad.
Yeah.
And they happen to have one of the best rushing attacks in all of football.
Yeah, it's just it's a shame. It's a shame. So anyway,
it really is.
So I landed on a guy who, right now, after seeing a quarter and a little bit of play, I'm not sure that I should have him as my value play. I feel like he's underpriced still, but I mean, he's got one target for one catch for 1 yard. Unfortunately, it's not even one touchdown, and that's David Njoku. And he's a guy that, I like Pitts, I just can't quit. So maybe that's why I look at him in a favorable light, and maybe I shouldn't be. But I thought the $4,200 on DraftKings was a pretty nice price for him. I don't love any of the value plays, so I'll default to you, and you can say whoever you want to have as the value play, and people should listen to Harley. He's the Titan Whisperer.
Yes, there are a couple names that kind of jumped out at me. I don't mind Zach Ertz against Dallas. I don't mind Juwan Johnson versus Green Bay. If you want to go really cheap, I kind of like Adam Troutman at home. I'm sorry, on the road versus Miami. Miami's actually been very bad against the tight end so far this year. And as I kind of looked around, one player that's not on the first board I sent over to you, due to an injury, I probably should have included him, but I did not. John Bates for Washington could have some good cheap value if Logan Thomas ends up missing the game due to the horrid hit he took in this past weekend's game.
Yeah, the one that got Kareem Jackson ejected because of it.
Yes, ejected, but apparently no suspension.
That's something, isn't it? I'll tell you
The guy I ended up. The guy I ended up settling on was kind of halfway down the list, and that's a guy who scored a touchdown last week, and that's Jake Ferguson for Dallas at Arizona. And again, it ultimately just came down to, you know, stream your tight ends against Arizona. If you want to save money, stream your tight ends against Arizona, because Arizona just doesn't care to cover the position. So I mean, you can put mediocre or middling tight end two types into your DFS lineup for half the price of a Travis Kelce, and you're not going to get Travis Kelce two touchdown upside, but you're going to get six catches, 60 yards, and a good shot at a touchdown, which is pretty good for a $3,600 price tag, at least on DraftKings. Now, I say this because of the way FanDuel structures their prices for tight ends. There aren't a lot of value plays at tight end on FanDuel. So when you're looking at the tight end prices, those bottom of the barrel guys like your Durham Smythe, your Donald Parhams are only like $400 or $500 less than the lower end tight end ones like your Gerald Everett's, Hayden Hurst, Dalton Schultz type. So again, at that point, I'd rather just spend up more on FanDuel. But if you're looking for a value play on DraftKings, consider Ferguson.
So the one guy I was going to say that if you really, really want to punt and just hope and a prayer type thing, I kind of like Durham Smythe as a really good sleeper this week. That, you know,
particularly if Waddle's out.
Waddle's out, they're really focusing on Tyreek. He could do a little bit of damage. I think he scores this weekend. If he scores, he blows 2,900 away.
Actually, again, that's one of the things that Denver has hurt this year so far in coverage is coverage against tight ends and also second receivers. So it would be nice if Waddle plays. If Waddle plays, you know, fade Tyreek and start Waddle instead.
Right.
But Waddle's price is actually just a little too high this week too, particularly given the situation.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so we had 7 matches. The under did not hit. It was the over. I don't think I've hit on one yet this year. I don't want to talk about it. But what I do want to talk about is that, listen, if you have any kind of questions, need any help, you can reach out to Harley at Nuclear Harley on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Gallo NFL. Harley, I don't know. You want any of those other ones, Spoutable, Wailable, whatever the hell they are? I tried one. I don't like it. I haven't used it.
No, I mean, people that know me know that I'm on Facebook and X, and that's about it right now.
There you go. So you'll say
I think I have an Instagram account, but I don't think I've ever posted on it. So if someone wants to find me and like send me pictures or whatever on Instagram, they can. Obviously, you can also go there and it's just to go to Twitter and follow hashtag matchup meal, where every Thursday my wife and I come up with some great food items pairing the two teams playing on Thursday night this coming week. It's San Francisco and who is it? Versus the Giants. So we'll have some interesting food items pairing San Francisco and the Giants this coming Thursday on X.
There you go. You know, I'm getting old. I don't remember, but did I tell you that I added a Kamado smoker to my repertoire this summer?
Is that like the big green egg?
It is like the big green egg, except I got the big red one, so I got the Kamado Joe.
You got the big red egg.
I got the big red egg, yes. They're evidently a little more innovative, and they've got some pretty cool toys to go with it, so that's what I went with. But in any event, you can follow Harley on Twitter X at New Clear Harley. You can follow me at Steve Gallo NFL. And, of course, if you haven't done so already, get out your wallet, get out your checkbook, get out your credit card, your Zelle, whatever it is that you have that the Huddle will take, and get yourself a Huddle membership and help yourself dominate your fantasy league. And until next week, get blitz responsible. Cheers.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.